Mayor's Cup between Kings and Wilkes. Today, the King's College Army ROTC held a wreath-laying ceremony in honor of Veterans Day. Program Director John Flynn reports on the event.
It was the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month back in 1918 when the armistice was signed between the Allied and Central Powers to end World War I, known at the time as the War to End All Wars. Slowly, November 11th evolved from Armistice Day, that remembered all the soldiers that died in World War I, to a public holiday that honors all American soldiers who have served the country and all who guard American freedoms around the world. The annual commemoration became Veterans Day in 1954 after President Dwight D. Eisenhower saw the resiliency of American soldiers in the Korean War. King's took part in one of the many festivities commemorating Veterans Day that are taking place around the nation this weekend as the King's Army ROTC conducted a wreath-laying ceremony this morning in the Fitzgerald Room in the third floor of the Campus Center. Captain David James Sherman, who has been in service for nearly 10 years, is an assistant professor of military science. He explains both what a wreath-laying ceremony is and what it means for him to be in the service for this long.
A wreath-laying ceremony is an opportunity to recognize on Veterans Day those who have served both past and present for the United States military of all branches. The wreath is a symbol with the colors red, white, and blue of the roses, symbolic appreciation for the ceremony. It's absolutely a great opportunity personally, especially on days like today, Veterans Day, to take the opportunity to recognize both past and present, not just myself, but everybody who's in the service. This is a team effort, both past and present, and it's a great chance to recognize that.
Army ROTC Cadet Junior Matthew Rerick describes the feeling and importance of the holiday and the importance of men and women in the past going through the adversity and hardship protecting the country.
Veterans Day is about the remembrance of the courage, dedication, and sacrifice required of all men and women who served this country. Thinking of veterans who have joined us in this group today and those who are here in only spirit, one can't help but feel awed by the way enormity of what we encounter. We stand in the midst of patriots and the families and friends of those who nobly served. It is on this day that we recognize not just those who have given their lives in service to this country, but all those who have worn the uniform of service. This day, and all above, is an opportunity to celebrate the choice one makes to serve this country. Today, we give thanks to live in a country where citizens every generation willingly and courageously volunteer to serve this great nation. To quote Thomas Paine, those who expect to rep the blessing of freedom must undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Millions of Americans have endured this burden of war in order to bring about lasting peace. To all who have, we say thank you.
WRKC reminds you to thank a veteran this weekend as we salute all of our veterans for keeping us safe and happy. To our veterans, we thank you for your service to our country. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Program Director John Flynn.
Making healthcare affordable is a priority within the nation. This and the opioid epidemic were discussed during a healthcare symposium held in Danville. Station manager Katie Pugh attended the symposium entitled From Crisis to Cure, Revitalizing America's Healthcare, which featured Hillary Clinton as the keynote speaker.
But we're living right now at a time when evidence and reason are somehow considered our adversaries.
Geisinger HealthWork hosted a national healthcare symposium at their main campus in Danville, Pennsylvania, on Thursday. Prominent political figures were featured, such as former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf, and keynote speaker Hillary Clinton to discuss the state of healthcare in America. The speakers delivered their addresses to a packed auditorium of care providers, administrators, and the public and discussed how healthcare can be improved and changed. Ms. Clinton spoke in question and answer format for about an hour with Dr. David T. Feinberg, the symposium's host. She opened by recounting an emotional experience she had in the 90s when working on healthcare legislation in the Senate.
I was at the Children's Hospital in Cleveland, and I was meeting with parents whose children were uninsurable. And there was a father there with two daughters who had cystic fibrosis. And it was just so overwhelming as an experience. Dad said, I've got two daughters. I'm a successful businessman. I have my own business. I can't I can't find insurance anywhere. And I said, so what do they tell you when you go and say, I can afford insurance, so give me, please, a chance to buy it? I said, well, he said, the last time I talked with an insurance company representative, he listened to my story, and then he looked at me and he said, you don't understand. We don't insure burning buildings. And this man looked at me with tears in his eyes, and he said, he called my daughters burning buildings.
Ms. Clinton called for a universal healthcare system at the event, a platform she recently began supporting to capture a more left-leaning liberal base.
I think the overriding lesson is that you have to have a universal healthcare system. Now, that is not necessarily a single-payer system, but it is a universal healthcare system so that no one is left out, no one is denied treatment for both physical and mental health problems, that the effort is made to try to make it as efficient as possible, and that includes then investing in community-based services, doing more to use not just online messaging, but in every way we can to help people do more to take care of themselves.
Opioids were another overarching topic of the symposium. Ms. Clinton offered her input as to what makes the crisis so intense in the United States.
This is something that I talked about a lot during the campaign because clearly what we're doing is not working. We are up to 90 deaths a day in our country. We're going to surpass gun violence, and that's horrific with the numbers that we have. So it's disappointing to me that the new administration has only given rhetorical support. There's no plan. There's no new money. There's no leadership. So communities and health systems are pretty much left on their own.
Governor Wolf also addressed the opioid epidemic in his lunchtime remarks.
Our Physician General, Rachel Levine, has actually given a standing order, a prescription to every citizen of Pennsylvania for naloxone, for Narcan. And most pharmacies, including some of the biggest ones, have voluntarily taken it on. So if you go to get a prescription for naloxone, if you're all Pennsylvanians, you're all covered, and you can pick that up. And thanks to the Good Samaritan law in Pennsylvania, you can pick it up even if you're not suffering yourself or you don't think you're going to suffer if you have a loved one, because you can actually administer it fairly easily and you don't have to worry about legal liability.
The governor also mentioned the legalization of medical marijuana in Pennsylvania as it relates to the opioid epidemic. Prescriptions for medical marijuana in Pennsylvania rolled out last week.
Pennsylvania has legalized medical marijuana, which actually there's some peer-reviewed studies that suggest that states that have done this and have this over a period of time actually see a reduction, in some cases 25%, in the use of opioids and in the overdoses that happen in a state. So medical marijuana simply gives doctors, the medical profession, more options in treating pain and treating different things that they don't have to just simply go to opioids.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm station manager Katie Pugh.
Four students from the King's McGowan School of Business traveled to Arlington, Virginia to compete in the Direct Marketing Association of Washington Education Foundation Collegiate Maxi Challenge. The competition involves students presenting their marketing campaign to a panel of judges. WRKC's Madison Ziemba was among one of the students to compete and shares the story tonight.
This past Friday, four students from the McGowan School of Business had the chance to compete and test their skills in a DMAW direct marketing contest. The students, Rachel McZuza, Kobe Thomas, Caroline Jones, and Madison Ziemba, traveled down to Arlington, Virginia with their professor, Dr. Amy Parsons. Caroline Jones tells us more about the project that the students presented.
We picked the Philadelphia Museum of Art to do a campaign on. It had to be a nonprofit group, so out of our choices, we picked Philadelphia Museum of Art. We did the market research and found out why people come to museums. We found out different age demographics, and we created a plan of what we want to do and a key message, which is that the Philadelphia Museum of Art offers more. And then we decided to create press releases, social media posts, direct mail, and we did a lot of market research and created different media to show the campaign off.
But these students did not have to do all of this work alone. They had help from their class, gathering the materials, crunching the numbers, and creating the advertising campaign that they were presenting. The class is taught by Dr. Amy Parsons, and in this class, students will learn and experience what a real-life advertising agency is like. The class is broken up into different departments to simulate how an advertising agency would be set up and to give students a chance to find out what they would like doing best. Rachel McZuza tells us more about the class and what she learned from it.
I like the creative aspect, and there's room for people that are more analytical within the budget and stuff. You could do that, or you could design online a lot of the handouts, print ads and stuff, so I think there's room for advertising for everyone.
The takeaway from this? More experience in real-life situation. Rachel McZuza tells us more about what she thought of the whole experience.
I thought that it was a really good experience for us to present in front of actual professionals. Like, we weren't just in the classrooms. It's a different atmosphere. I thought it was really beneficial to us for the future.
But this experience is not a unique one here at King's College. There are many different opportunities students can take advantage of to gain the same real-life experience these students were able to. Caroline Jones and Kobe Thomas offer a bit of advice for students who will do something similar to this in the future.
Work well with the group in class and to really contribute as much as you can, and then to work well with the group that was presenting. And I think all four of us were friends and we work really well together.
I agree. Just know your material, practice.
For WRKC's News at 5, I'm Madison Ziempa.
Stay tuned for yet another Monarch Sports update and the weather for the weekend.
Hi, Mom. Is Claire's birthday party today? Me again, Mom. Where did I put my history book? Hi. Sorry, forgot one last thing. Sometimes it's hard to concentrate. At school, I start looking out the window, and then I forget what I was supposed to be thinking about. I know it seems like I don't care, but I do. It's just difficult for me. Love you, Mom. Bye.
Join parents and experts at Understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues to help your child thrive. Brought to you by Understood.org and the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Beatle Ed. If you're into the Beatles, have I got a show for you. The Beatle Ed Fab 4 Hour airs every Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. live on WRKC. Warning, this is not your father's Beatles show. You'll hear outtakes, rare recordings, classic and solo tracks, exclusive interviews with people like Pete Best, May Pang, and many more. The Beatle Ed Fab 4 Hour, Fridays at 7 on WRKC 88.5. You never know, your dad might like it too.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
This is your sports director, Dan Stokes, with your Mayor's Cup preview. The King's College football team faces off against crosstown rival Wilkes University in the 22nd annual Mayor's Cup game tomorrow. King's and Wilkes are only separated by three city blocks in Wilkes-Barre. The game will be held at 12 p.m. at McCarthy Stadium. The venue changes every other year between the Monarchs and the Colonels. King's has a 4-5 overall record with a 3-5 record in MAC conference play. They're coming off a 27-6 loss at Widener University. Wilkes, however, has an 0-9 overall record with an 0-8 record in MAC conference play. They fell at home to Stevenson University 44-12. Ticket prices are set at $5 for adults, $2 for seniors, and non-King students with an ID. Children under the age of 6 shall be admitted for free. The teams began playing for the Mayor's Cup during the 1996 season. Wilkes-Barre Mayor Anthony George will present the Mayor's Cup to the winning team afterwards. As in past years, each squad will also have a team game most valuable player. With the coaching matchup, Monarch mentor Jeff Narr is in his 8th season at Kings and owns a 26-53 career record. Wilkes mentor Trey Brown is in his 4th season at Wilkes and has a 7-32 record to show for it. Kings has won 3 of the past 4 meetings in the series, but over the course of the last 3 seasons, the visiting team has been the winning squad. The last time the teams played at McCarthy Stadium, Wilkes won 24-17 in 2015. The Monarchs enter Saturday's game ranked 4th in the MAC conference in scoring with 28 points a game. Kings is 2nd in total offense, averaging 414 yards per game. The Monarchs are 4th in the MAC in passing yards with 276 per game and are 4th in rushing, averaging 137 yards each contest. Senior quarterback Zach Whitehead has completed 196 of 358 passing attempts for 2,439 yards with 15 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. He has also rushed for 307 yards on 155 carries with 12 rushing touchdowns of his own. Whitehead has established himself in the Kings record books with 477 completions and 37 touchdowns. He is only 268 yards away from breaking Tyler Hartranft's career mark of 5,943 yards from 2012 to 2014, and is also 16 passing attempts away from surpassing Hartranft's record of 846 career passes thrown. He also owns school records for pass completions in one game, which is 40, on a season, with 244, passing yards in a game with 423, a season with 2,832, touchdown passes in a season with 19, and for his career has 37, while sharing the record for most touchdown passes in one game, which is 4, among other marks. The receivers are paced by senior Tyler Maroney, who enters his final game with a school record 65 catches for 997 yards and 6 touchdowns. Maroney is currently tied with Dan Kempa with 151 career receptions from 2011 to 2014. Maroney is also second in career receiving yards with 2,185. Junior running back Jordan Downs has 584 yards on 125 carries with 4 scores, while adding 19 receptions out of the backfield for 183 yards. Junior Titus Nelson has 335 rushing yards on 75 carries while making 5 catches for 91 yards. On the season. This season, place kicker Mike Tuminello has set Kings records with a 44-yard field goal, the longest in program history, 9 extra points made in one game, and 52 kicking points in one season. With 8 successful field goals, he is 2 makes away from equaling the school mark of 10 set by Ryan Kane in 2010. Defensively for the Monarchs, they are led by senior Bruce Damon with 69 tackles, freshman Mondo Salavanti has 50 tackles, and sophomore cornerback Eli Vasquez has 49 tackles. For the 16 seniors, this will be their last time they put on the red and gold for the Monarchs. The game is slated for a 12:07 start at McCarthy Stadium. The game will be broadcast live on WRKC. For the WRKC News of 5, I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now for the weather. Tonight will be clear with a low of 21. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high of 41. And Sunday will be partly cloudy with a high of 45. Kings football hosts Wilkes at the McCarthy Stadium for the 22nd Mayor's Cup on Saturday at 12:07 p.m. Operation Stay Warm for the Holidays allows students to drop off new or gently used blankets at the King's College Scanlon Gym through November 14th. The Multicultural and International Club is holding a fundraiser selling crew necks for $18 in the Campus Center. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm News Director Lauren Gallagher. Have a fascinating Friday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.